Well, the news is coming very fast out of Ivory Coast. It appears that the civil war is over there. A spokesman for us on Ouattara, Patrick Achi, spoke to our partner, the BBC, earlier this morning and said Ouattara's forces are in charge of Laurent Gbagbo's official residence.
We have control of the residence. People they have seen in the residence say that Gbagbo was in the residence, that they are still looking after him.
It was later said that Gbagbo was actually in a bunker beneath his presidential palace negotiating his surrender. Here's the head of the UN peacekeeping mission in Ivory Coast, YJ Choi, talking about Gbagbo.
During the night, his advisors, both military and civilians, continued to leave him. Now he is known to have retreated in his basement bunker in his residence in Kokodi.
We also heard that the war is over. That's according to the foreign minister for incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo, who spoke to our partner, the BBC, in the capital of Ivory Coast. Joining us now, Véronique Edwards, BBC African Service, and Steve Erlanger with the New York Times Paris Bureau. Véronique, let me start with you and just ask you, what can we confirm at this point? Is the war over? Is Laurent Gbagbo stepping down?
Well, that is still yet to be known, because right now we've spoken to some of his ministers and they are saying they would like to ask for ceasefire, and they have their foreign minister meeting with the French embassy as we speak to work some way of ceasefire. First of all, they are arguing that the French had no reason or legitimate reason to bombard their president's home. And now we are also hearing that some of the people who are meeting with the foreign minister are saying that they are going to ask for a surrender, but with conditions. And the situation is a bit murky and confusing at the moment, because some of his ministers think that they should use the constitutional route to solve all this. And then there are some who are saying they should use the political route to solve this. So we don't know if they are giving up yet. But as we speak, they are asking for a surrender.
Steve Erlanger, the New York Times Paris bureau chief, explain to me how France came to be involved in what some people are calling an unprecedented escalation and what the UN is calling an attempt to end a civil war before it became a humanitarian disaster. The United Nations peacekeeping forces and the UN, the French peacekeeping mission Unicorn, ended up carrying out airstrikes in Abidjan. How did France end up participating?
Well, France has been there for many, many years. It was a French colony, and they intervened in 2002 to try to separate the sides in the civil war. They've reduced their presence, and they are there in support of the UN. But what happened was there was a UN resolution earlier in the week, more about the right to protect civilians. Ban Ki-moon called Sarkozy and asked him to put French forces at the disposal of the UN to knock out heavy arms and heavy guns that Gbagbo's forces were using against civilians. So that was, you know, why the French went in the way they did. But I think you're quite right. It did mark a different tone and aggressiveness, both on the part of the UN and the French peacekeeping troops. And it seems to make them, you know, on one side of the war. I mean, I think clearly they decided that, you know, they would save more lives if it were ended quickly.
Well, let's talk a little bit further about France's international profile at this point. We saw France being very aggressive in their position on Libya, the first country to recognize the rebel opposition as the legitimate government of Libya, very, very active in trying to push for the establishment of a no-fly zone there. They're still involved. Many people forget they're still involved in Afghanistan as well. Can you kind of talk about the position of the French military at this point?
Well, right now you might even say it's overstretched, but Afghanistan's been for a long time. That was part of alliance solidarity with the United States and NATO. That was something Sarkozy inherited. And Ivory Coast, he was something he inherited also. What's new is Libya, and the same new principle of right to protect, which was mentioned for the first time in the Libyan resolution, the French interpret as protecting all the citizens of Libya, which, you know, should mean the expulsion of Muammar Gaddafi. They seem to have taken the same idea in the Ivory Coast, but I think, you know, if it all ends relatively quickly, everyone will feel they've emerged unscathed. But if Ouattara takes power on the backs of the UN and the French, I think they're going to have he's going to have much more trouble with national reconciliation in an already very divided Ivory Coast.
Well, it certainly raises a very interesting question that you pose in your article, Stephen Erlanger. I mean, is this a Sarkozy initiative here? Is this all about him, or is this really about a kind of shifting of France's international position in an attempt to really gain credibility as these smaller kinds of destabilizations occur around Africa?
Well, I think Libya is different in the way that, you know, it was, I think, an effort by the French to restore their credibility after screwing up Tunisia and not being very forward-leaning on Egypt also. But Ivory Coast, I think their policy hasn't really changed very much. I mean, they really are in support of the UN. It's the UN, in some sense, that actually changed and asked the French to participate in a more aggressive fashion in the name of protecting civilians under the new Security Council resolution, which I think was just passed Monday.
That's Steve Erlanger, the New York Times Paris bureau chief. Also with us, Véronique Edwards, the African service of our partner to the BBC. Véronique, any idea how the people of Ivory Coast view this intervention by both UN and French peacekeepers?
Well, some are skeptical, some are happy, and others have too many questions to ask with no answers right now. Like Steve said earlier, the country is divided into two camps, those who are backing Alassane Ouattara and those who are backing Laurent Gbagbo. Now, the big question is, when Alassane Ouattara takes over as president, he must have dialogue in order to bring the 40% of people who voted for Gbagbo. And how do you do this? Now, right now, as we speak, there are only 4 million people now left in Abidjan without water, food, and electricity. And I just spoke with somebody on the border before coming to you. He says people are streaming into Liberia in their hundreds. How are they going to encourage and give confidence to these people to come back into Ivory Coast? So there's just so many things going on. And the biggest problem right now is there are some diehards who belong to Gbagbo who still believe the best way to solve this problem will be through the National Constitution Council. And they are saying that because they believe that this is the only body that can legitimately say who won the elections. Then it asks or begs the question, why did they have a National Electoral Commission if they can't accept what this commission said? So there are just so many problems at the moment, which we need to watch and see what will happen in the next 5 hours from now.
Véronique Edwards with the BBC African Service. We also spoke with Steve Erlanger, New York Times Paris bureau
chief. Dramatic developments.
Talking about very fast and dramatic developments in Ivory Coast this morning. Thanks to both of you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.